VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I'd like to begin with a verse of scripture found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It states this: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It's a very appropriate verse for the matters that we'll be talking about today, because there appears to be a thirst for blood in our land that should shake our nation to its very core. I mean, to realize that the dominant theme in this election cycle is about the killing, the murdering of preborn babies. It's part of the mantra for the presidency. It's happening in the U.S. House and Senate races. It's happening in state house races. It's happening in the campaigns of judges and attorney generals and district attorneys, and the list goes on. Multiple states will have abortion on its ballot this November, but even this is not satisfying the appetite for blood and death, as top law enforcement is actually going after those who stand for the sanctity of human life to either put them out of business or to keep them from standing for life ever again. Joining us today, we welcome Reverend Jim Hardin, the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. His own center was targeted by abortion terrorism. Pastor Jim, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's an honor to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So we've got a lot to unfold on the program today, but it just seems actually appalling to me, Jim, for candidates traveling from state to state and district to district and community center to tout their support for the murder of preborn babies. I mean, we look at October 7th and we call it barbaric, and it was barbaric. But what's happening in many states is equally outrageous.
100%. I mean, what's happening is it belies the reality that a lot of these, I'd say, candidates or government bad actors, current politicians, do not understand the role of government when it comes to protecting human life. I mean, the purpose of government is to protect all human life equally. It's even enshrined in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And so for them to go out there and say, well, let's compromise, let's get consensus on how many abortions, when we can get abortions or et cetera, et cetera. What that says is the government thinks it's okay to disqualify certain categories of human beings for arbitrary reasons, such as age or location. And this is a slippery slope, because, you know, once you allow the government to vest itself with that kind of power, the ability to decide who qualifies for protection under the law and who does not, mm-hmm. then who's next? The depressed, the disfavored, say pro-lifers, for example. It doesn't end anywhere. I mean, this is Stalin's Article 58. This is not about abortion. I've said this before. This is about the role of government and what it means to be human. Abortion represents a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human under God. That's why abortion is allowed to exist, because we do not believe the truth anymore that we're made in God's image and therefore equally valuable. We are endowed by our Creator, not our government, with the unalienable right to life, the right that is first and most and foremost the building block of the house of the unalienable rights.
And I think it's important we point out that there's some who have a difficult time understanding when life begins. What is that point?
Fertilization. The moment the male gamete, the sperm, meets the female gamete, the egg, and creates a unique strand of DNA. That is the strand of DNA that controls the maturation of that individual from that moment all the way to natural death.
Yeah, yeah.
That is when life begins.
And folks, let's follow the science, okay? And I understand, sadly, tragically, that the United States, we are standing with eight countries around the world that don't place any gestational limits on abortion. And again, it's abortion, whether it's at 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But we're right up there with Vietnam and communist China.
Yes, we are. We're in fact, New York State is the abortion capital. I often say New York State is the abortion capital of the world. not because we do more abortions than, say, China, but because we outsource abortion policy to the rest of the world through New York. New York is the abortion capital of the nation, certainly in terms of abortions per capita more than any other state. But it's also the headquarters of the abortion industry. Planned Parenthood provides 40% of all U.S. abortions, the biggest abortion business on the planet, next to China. And they're headquartered in Manhattan. Danco Laboratories, the pharmaceutical company responsible for bringing chemical abortion to the United States, now represents 63% of all U.S. abortions, 630,000. They're headquartered in New York City. I mean, these people, the billion-dollar abortion empire is the business model that gets pro-abortion politicians elected. This is huge money, and they've had a two-pronged approach: deregulate abortion, total deregulation of abortion, sacrifice women's health on the altar of abortion, and the second prong is to regulate pro-life activity in the public square. And their goal is to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers and all expression of pro-life belief in front of, say, abortion clinics.
And you're not over-exaggerating with this. Tell us what's happening with your attorney general, Letitia James. We understand that she has written a letter to life-affirming pro-life ministries of, quote, repeated and persistent misleading statements and omissions about abortion pill reversal. You and other groups have brought legal action against her. Tell us what's happening and tell us about the action being taken.
Yeah, so, you know, Letitia James has been, for the last several years, on an ideological rampage attacking pro-life activity, specifically pro-life pregnancy center activity. She's led coalitions of state attorneys general, in multiple cases. She's also influenced Google to censor pregnancy centers and keep women from finding us on the Google Map applications, which they agreed to do, by the way. This is all public and very illegal. And now she's come out with a copycat lawsuit, similar to what happened in California with Attorney General Rob Bonta in California, filing a lawsuit against Heartbeat International and several pregnancy centers there. Why? Because of what's been called abortion pill reversal. So they're claiming misinformation. They're claiming that we're lying to women. They're saying that we're misleading them and harming them by telling them that you can reverse the effects of mifepristone, which is the chemical abortion drug, if you start the progesterone therapy. Progesterone therapy has been used by doctors, OBGYNs, for over 50 years to help women with chronic miscarriage problems. Progesterone has been proven by God Almighty for the last 4,000 years to be safe in sustaining a pregnancy. And yet, Letitia James and Rob Bonta, these pro-abortion politicians, insist that we're harming women by giving them progesterone therapy. So she issued a notice that she's going to sue us April 22nd. And we filed suit before she did. All of us got together, all 12 organizations in New York State that she said she was going to sue. We all got together, and we filed suit against her first through the Thomas More Society, based out of Chicago. And it was a 66-page complaint. She just came out saying she's going to sue us. She's suing us, okay, in Manhattan. Manhattan. Why Manhattan? There are no pregnancy centers that she's suing that are in Manhattan. But she didn't even tip her hat to the fact that she's already been sued by us because she's intending to violate our First and 14th Amendment rights. This is a conspiracy against rights. She is using her position to deny us our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, and equal protection under the law. And this is a violation of U.S. Code 42, Section 1983, also known as the Third KKK Act of 1871.
Oh my!
You cannot use your position to deprive a citizen or group of citizens of their constitutional rights, Letitia James. You can't do it. And furthermore, She should be aware of that. She's a lawyer, ostensibly. Somebody should be telling her. So she filed suit against us in Manhattan today. As I, just a few minutes ago, I learned of it. I really got my hackles up because, she's basically forum shopping. And what that means is she's looking for a judge to entertain her fanciful allegations that we're lying to women. We're not the ones lying to women. The abortion industry is lying to women. The abortion industry is saying that chemical abortion is safer than Tylenol. And yet 1 in 17 women wind up in the emergency room. Do people who take Tylenol, do 1 in 17 people who take Tylenol wind up in the emergency room with sepsis and hemorrhaging and undiagnosed ectopic pregnancies and death? I don't think so. And yet, somehow or other, they're saying that we're lying to women. We're the ones, look, our data shows, she's saying that there's no scientific data that says you can safely reverse the effects of mifepristone. Well, there are 16 of them. 16. And our data, based on our patient load, says that of the patients that want a reverse chemical abortion that we've served, 90% went on to have a healthy pregnancy. 90%. That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're sitting here trying to save women's lives, save babies' lives, and provide them a choice where she wants to force women who started the chemical abortion process to have the abortion. This is forced abortion. And by the way, she's threatening fines against us that could be ruinous in her legal action. She wants to shut us down, just like, you know, Elizabeth Warren said a year ago. She wants to shut them down, pregnancy centers. So we're facing existential threats by attorneys general in blue states and other politicians. Why? Not because of abortion, but because of what we represent. We're Christians who are able to articulate the fact that we are made in God's image and therefore equally valuable, both mother and child, from the womb to the tomb.
You know, you're also calling attention to the genocide of African-American babies in Brooklyn. Reveal to our listeners what is happening.
Brooklyn, there are more abortions in Kings County, Brooklyn, than any other county in the nation. And for every 100 black babies born in Brooklyn, 99 are aborted.
You mean every 99 that are 100 that are conceived, 99 are aborted?
It's a ratio. So it ends up being for every it's half. Basically half of all black babies in Brooklyn are aborted. And it's absolute genocide with what's going on. And you know, for in New York State, generally speaking, 74 for every 100 black babies born, 74 aborted. Now compare that to the white community, where for every 100 white babies born, 14 are aborted, or 11, depending on what part of the state you're in. And so, you know, no one's bothering to talk about that. But the reality is, if all black babies that have been aborted since 1973 were alive today, the black community would be twice the size it is right now. And right now it's only 14% of the population, and yet they bear 40% of the abortion load. This is a targeting. And by the way, the abortion industry, as you know, Jim, is founded on eugenics principles, and Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, wanted to destroy minorities like the black population, and so they are.
Friends, it is outrageous what is taking place, and the genocide. It is no accident that these abortuaries are placed in largely minority related neighborhoods and the targeting. I look at our own city of Milwaukee. Where do the abortion clinics go? And where do they put where does Planned Parenthood go? They want to go where the African American population is. It's atrocious, the targeting. And friends, it goes right back to the racist beliefs of their founder, Margaret Sanger. It has not changed in all of these years. And yet people are now outraged about this. Friends, we've got more information to bring your way, and I trust you'll stay tuned today. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. With us today, Reverend Jim Hardin, who is president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York, who has just brought legal action against their attorney general. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the age-old question, is it true that man evolved from the apes?
No, it is not, Chris. Humans were created separately. The animals, including the apes, were created after their kind, but humans were created in the image of God. Man is not related to the animals. But according to evolution, we are descended from the animals. It used to be thought that a rodent, a rat-like animal, was the common ancestor of all the mammals, but a recent study showed that the closest living relative of the common ancestor is the aardvark. How about that? We came from an aardvark. Chris, isn't it about time we recognize the evolutionary view as abject foolishness? Isn't it time we go back to Genesis and get it right?
If you'd like to go back to Genesis, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, friends, the targeting of the preborn continues here in our land, and sadly, it's becoming the campaign mantra for so many. Right now, we're talking with Reverend Jim Harden, President and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York, and just minutes before this program, just learned of a lawsuit that has been brought against his the network that of services they provide at Compass Care, but other pro-life groups in the state of New York as well, and calling upon them, well, branding them as being liars, that that there is merit to the reversal pill reversal. This is rather shocking that is taking place. I mean, it's well known that that there have been multiple reversals that have taken place from those who have taken only one, you know, course of this medication designed to take life. And the Attorney General is calling your group and other pro-life agencies liars?
Yes, she is. She's calling us liars. In fact, it's interesting because Jane's Revenge is a pro-abortion terrorist group that raised its ugly head shortly after the illegal leak of the Dobbs case overturning Roe back in May of 2022. And that started this prairie fire of violence against pro-life organizations. And the Marxist communiques that were being sent out claiming responsibility for these attacks and firebombings, of which we were the victims in Buffalo, essentially made the same claims. They were saying that we're lying to women, that we're misleading women, that we're harming women, that we're enslaving women, we're making them, force them to have their babies and become permanent socioeconomic underclasses. It's just all Marxist rhetoric. And here's Attorney General Letitia James, who is now saying, quote, abortions cannot be reversed. Any treatments that claim to do so are made without scientific evidence and could be unsafe. Well, she's lying. She's lying. There have been 16 different studies that have demonstrated, even the FDA came out, the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, came out saying, you know, in the presence of progesterone treatments or supplements, mifepristone, a pregnancy is four times more likely to continue in the presence of mifepristone, which is the chemical abortion drug. Okay, so the FDA says it works. 16 different, you know, scientific medical journals and studies say it works. And our actual patient data demonstrates verifiably that it works. So she's, this again, this is not about abortion for Attorney General Letitia James. This is about a 2024 presidential election campaign, and she is using taxpayer dollars and you know, as a to engage in vilification and demonization of pro-life people to get out the vote. This is, you know, this is wrong, it's unethical, and quite frankly, I think she needs to be disbarred. I think she needs to be investigated. I think she is engaging in a crime, quite frankly, in a conspiracy to deprive pro-life citizens of their constitutional rights, our First Amendment rights of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of expressive association. She is engaging in an ideological war. She has declared war on pro-life pregnancy centers simply because we differ with her on the nature of what it means to be human. We're trying to protect all people. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to force women who've started the chemical abortion process to have the abortion. This is not about choice for her. This is about robbing women of true choice, which pregnancy centers provide for free. We don't charge for services. We provide full course of emergency reproductive health treatment. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy and she ingests mifepristone, our nurses stand by on call to treat her all across New York State and give her progesterone therapy for free. We help her save her baby and have that pregnancy continue. So she wants to stop that. And quite frankly, she's the one that's engaging in misinformation. She has got a campaign. And by the way, she's part of a larger movement in the kind of progressive Democrat pro-abortion controlled left that is engaging in misinformation campaign. They've got a bully pulpit, and just because they say something is false or true does not make it so. They are not the final arbiters of what is right and wrong or what is true and false. They cannot come out and say, well, you can't, they can't be the thought police. That's unconstitutional. So there's so much wrong that's going on right now. We filed a lawsuit against her first because we saw that she was going to file a lawsuit. We were right. And we wanted to get the appropriate venue so we could get a judge to hear our case. But we know that there are so many activistic judges out there right now that she wanted to get a venue. So she went forum shopping. She wanted to get she wanted to file a lawsuit against us in a forum where she could get a judge to listen to her, you know, fanciful allegations. But we'll see. She filed in Manhattan, where there are no pregnancy centers that she's suing. Why would she file in Manhattan? She's just proving her point. So we filed against her first a week ago in Rochester, and we think that we can probably get a fair hearing here in Rochester. We filed all together, but when I say we, I mean all 12 organizations. At the time, there were 11. So, we're going to fight this. This is not just a fight in California and New York. This is a fight about what it means to be America.
Yeah.
This is a fight about the rule of law.
It really does. And we're going to see that with some of these other issues that are going on. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Washington Examiner is calling this a witch hunt from the AG of New York, Letitia James. When I observe also what's taking place in the state of Oklahoma, we have the Biden administration is yanking healthcare funds from Oklahoma simply because they're not using funds for the taking of preborn life. They're not utilizing funds for abortion. Therefore, they're rescinding the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Biden administration, rescinding a $4.5 million Title X grant to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. And this is another aspect of the targeting. If you will not take the life of preborn children, we're going to yank this federal funding from you.
Yeah. So, again, it just demonstrates they're willing to do whatever it takes. They're putting women's reproductive health truly on the altar of power. And here in Oklahoma, we see they're putting everybody's health care. Yeah. They don't care if you're underserved and don't have the money for health care. They're going to hold your health care hostage to their abortion agenda. That's how serious they are. Talk about compromise and consensus. What's up with the Republican conservative candidates that are looking for compromise and consensus? When's the last time a pro-abortion Democrat, talked about compromise and consensus? They don't get compromise. They don't get consensus. They want it all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're getting right now.
And yet we're being fed the line. I mean, the word going out to be pro-life is bad for elections. You agree or disagree with that?
I totally disagree. I mean, if we had pro-life statesmen that were willing and able to articulate the pro-life message that all people are made in the image of God and equally valuable, deserving of protection and blessing, and that the government's job is to protect all people equally without qualification, without partiality, and it's the state's job to regulate abortion, I think you would have, you would enjoy a landslide election, which is not unlike what we saw with the governor's election in Florida, with the governor's election in 2022 in Ohio. And by the way, how did Ohio, pro-life Ohio, elect a pro-life governor 1 year and 1 year later vote Proposition 1 in to make abortion legal for all, virtually all 9 months of pregnancy, if you look at it?
Mm-hmm.
How did they do that? They didn't all of a sudden reverse course. They were fed propaganda lies from dark money from New York State, the abortion headquarters. The lies were, if you don't vote for this proposition, conservative Republicans are going to get in office and women are going to die on the operating table for lack of access to emergency miscarriage treatment. That's what was fed to them. Of course, no. Here's the thing. We've got to read these ballot initiatives, because if we don't read these ballot initiatives and understand what they mean, we will be duped and the electorate will enshrine abortion as a fundamental human right in these state constitutions. And it's not about codifying Roe. It's much more than that.
Right.
Because when you put abortion into a paragraph in the articles of your constitution at the state level, what happens is when it'll become a civil right. And if anybody is seen as somehow hindering a woman from accessing her civil right, it's punishable by fines and imprisonment. Yeah. That includes all pro-life public activities.
I need to point out as well, it was last week, just a week ago today, it was last Monday or Tuesday. No, it was last Monday, an interview Nancy Pelosi was in. Basically, she was boasting if they take the House, the Senate, and the presidency, she said, we're going to kill the filibuster and we're going to legalize abortions nationwide up to birth. I mean, that is right. The goal.
That is the goal. And she said it. She said it out loud. And we've been saying that for I don't know how long. And the pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democrat Party kept saying, oh, no, that's not what we want. Nobody wants that. Well, yes, they do. That's all they want. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been after. Oh, and like I said, It's not codifying Roe that they're after, even though Nancy Pelosi said that.
Right.
They want to take it to the next level, which is what I just described. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing in New York. That's what we're seeing in California. That's what we're seeing with the DOJ attacking these pro-lifers and throwing them in prison. Peaceful pro-lifers, federal prison. One lady's facing 50 years and $1 million fine. I mean, for peacefully expressing her position and using her voice on behalf of the voiceless. So this is a very dangerous moment in the history of America.
Yeah. And just talking about the prosecution of pro-lifers, I mean, they were receiving unbelievable sentences. We understand one by the name of Eva Eld, a communist death camp survivor, soon to be 89 years old, is in danger of being sentenced to over a decade in an American prison for defending the unborn, what's being called a peaceful sit-in. Here she was once in the concentration camp and now sees, you know, the Holocaust of the preborn taking place, and she may be suffering yet again.
Yes, and she's willing to. She's preparing herself to die in prison, in an American prison, for speaking up on behalf of those that cannot speak for themselves.
I see.
The irony is thick.
Yeah, here's another. This is from LifeSite News. Calvin Zastrow, charged with the, violating the pro-abortion Freedom to Access Clinic Entrances Act in Michigan, but brought into the courtroom in shackles. I mean, his hands shackled, you know, to another chain that goes to the waist and shackles around the feet. I mean, this is unbelievable, the treatment. Even the judge seemed kind of surprised by this.
Yeah, these are peaceful people that are seeking to protect all people. These are people that are leveraging their constitutional rights to protect other people, okay? Somehow or other, they're being interpreted as dangerous domestic terror-type criminals. Meanwhile, you've got bona fide domestic terrorists that are going around, engaging in murder threats and firebombing pro-life entities, and they get their private attorney's fees paid for by a federal judiciary grant. They get the federal prosecution recommending a lighter crime and a lighter sentence, and they're going to be out in 5 years. I'm talking about Hirondi Roy Choudhury, who is one of three Marxist Antifa James Revenge people who firebombed the pro-life organization in Madison back in May, 2 years ago. And then the same organization took responsibility for the firebombing of our pro-life pregnancy center in Buffalo 30 days later. Well, you know, what's going on? And some of the evidence demonstrated that there was a grant involved. Somebody gave them a grant to pay for this activity. These people were involved. We know now they were involved in BLM activity. They're involved in sister, riots with respect to Stop Cop City and this eco-terrorism. These people are all the same. BLM, the transgender folks, the eco-terrorist types, the James Revenge, these are all just front groups for the same international Marxist insurgency. And we need to be aware that this is also happening now on college campuses.
It is. And there's a lot of Soros money right behind this as well.
Yes, and they're getting Soros money, Open Society grants.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the targeting of preborn life. Reverend Jim Hardin is our guest today, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Website is compasscarecommunity.com, correct?
Correct.
CompassCareCommunity.com, staying abreast on many of these issues. Friends, a quick break, and after the break, we can't escape what just happened in the state of Arizona. It is atrocious, in my opinion, what just took place. From being an advocate of upholding the sanctity of human life to instead putting a dagger through the hearts of preborn children. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Hank Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness.
To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We mentioned Oklahoma just a bit ago, and we understand that now several pro-life pregnancy centers in Oklahoma, they're fighting back against the pro-abortion items on the Biden agenda that's trying to force pregnancy centers to promote abortion instead of providing expectant women with actual choices and options apart from ending their baby's life. These battles are taking place all across the country. Speaking with today with Jim Harden of the Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York, they just have been served legal action by their attorney general in their state. They have filed preemptive action just a week ago, and these things are going to be working its way through the court. But I want to get to the state of Arizona. I mean, just recently, Brother Jim, the Arizona Supreme Court upheld their 1864 law that banned abortion except to save the life of the mother. Many were shouting hallelujah over this. I mean, here we have the protection of human life, and then you have a couple Republicans joining in with the Democrats saying this is too harsh, and they overturned this law to allow the killing of children up to 15 weeks gestation. This is when the vast majority of abortions are taking place across the land. This legislation tragically moved really at lightning speed, and then Governor Hobbs of Arizona celebrating, tweeting out, quote, "With the stroke of my pen, the 1864 abortion ban is about to officially become a thing of the past. It is to take effect 90 days now after this legislative session ends." This, in my opinion, is completely tragic, and shame on the state of Arizona, shame on the legislature for saying, no, this was too harsh to save preborn life, and we want to make sure that children have the pathway to be killed before 15 weeks.
Yeah, there's some lessons, I think, for America to learn from this Arizona debacle. Look, the morally bankrupt Arizona legislature or legislators that passed this bill repealing the abortion ban, they attempted to disparage this this law outlawing abortion as Civil War era. They kept calling it a Civil War era law. And here's the thing. Apparently, contemporary Americans are so much more morally enlightened than those in 1864, who were then, by the way, engaged in fighting for the personhood status of all, including black people. If the secular moral snobbery of the left believe Civil War era morality is bad, where does that leave the Emancipation Proclamation or the 13th Amendment outlawing slavery? We don't need to wonder too long. We talked about this earlier. What they really think about Civil War era morality? We talked about this. Like I said, New York is aborting 74 black babies for every 100 born, compared to their white counterparts, which is 11 for every 100. So if the Civil War era morality is alive, and it would appear that it is in Arizona. And I think that the Democrat Party's new KKK is the abortion industry, because they've been much more efficient at destroying the black community than the KKK ever was.
You know, friends, this battle going on in Arizona, it's going on in other states. I mean, we have Florida, their heartbeat law just went into effect last week, May 1st, to protect unborn children after 6 weeks. Yet Florida is going to be voting this November and expanding abortion up to the moment of birth. We also see that it looks like they've got the signatures here for South Dakota as well. We've got many South Dakota listeners, and they've got a battle for life on their November ballot. If passed, their amendment would make killing babies and abortions a right all the way up to the time of birth as well.
Yes. Voters need to beware. The supermajority believe abortion should be restricted. So be careful not to be lulled into believing the Democrats want anything less than abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy and beyond. Read your ballot initiatives. And again, I have to say this. The real play here for these pro-abortion Democrats in charge of the Democrat Party is not about abortion as a fundamental human right. What they're all about is attacking religious liberty and shutting down all pro-life public expression through pregnancy centers, through sidewalk ministry, and they want to even restrict physicians' right of conscience so they have to refer or provide for abortions. I mean, this is where we are. Their goal is to shut down all pro-life public expression, and constitutional amendments, if they get critical mass, will do just that.
Reverend Jim Harden, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, the website compasscarecommunity.com. Lawsuit just brought against them by the Attorney General of the state of New York. And there is much at play here in all of this, but I want to point out another issue, and I'm looking at the Dallas News right now, dallasnews.com. Dallas, Texas listeners, do you have your ears perked up? Here we have here's the headline, Dallas Church opens pregnancy center with abortion resources. And first of all, Jim, they're calling the audacity to call this the Truth Pregnancy Resource Center. In my opinion, it's all about deception. Let me read you the couple paragraphs. Leaders of the First Unitarian Church of Dallas cut the ribbon Friday. That would have been just a little over a week ago, on a new pregnancy resource center that aims to provide comprehensive reproductive health information and act as a foil for crisis pregnancy centers. The Truth Pregnancy Resource Center is a direct reaction to Texas' strict abortion bans that made the procedure illegal in all cases, but those that threaten the life of the mother. Abortion clinics around the state shuttered, limiting access to women's health care providers in regions already known to be maternal care deserts, they're calling them. The church already partners with an abortion fund in New Mexico to fly abortion seekers from North Texas to Albuquerque. Church leaders said they're trying to fill the resource vacuum left when abortion clinics shut down and OBGYN offices felt limited in what they could say because of restrictive state laws. You know, in the name of religion, Jim, they are using their church and their so-called their truth pregnancy resource center to kill innocent children, the preborn children.
The Unitarian Church, I'm not quite sure what gospel they're preaching, but it's certainly not the gospel of life, certainly not the gospel of hope. When a woman faces unplanned pregnancy and believes that that abortion is her only option, that is not hope. That is not life. They're conspiring with culture to continue to allow her to be coerced into a decision that she would not normally make under healthy circumstances. And furthermore, by the way, transporting women across state lines or aiding and abetting the transport of women across state lines to get an abortion can be a violation of the Federal Mann Act to cover up sex crimes. I mean, they're not interested in protecting women here. This is an organization that will be protecting and aiding and abetting sex abusers and sex traffickers. And furthermore, you know, there's a sending women across state lines or having drugs delivered across state lines is a violation of the Comstock Act. Comstock Act makes it illegal, modified in 1971 and again in 1994, makes it illegal to ship drugs across state lines, which is happening right now in all 50 states. You know, 63% of all abortions are chemical abortion, but it comes with 10 years in jail for the first offense with a $250,000 fine and 5 years in jail for every subsequent offense plus $250,000 in fines plus racketeering. That's triple damages. So if you just did the math, I did the math one day. I sat down and said, okay, let's just take a look at chemical abortion violations in terms of the Comstock Act in America. And it adds up to $2.4 trillion in fines just in the last 5 years, just in chemical abortion alone. That would sink the entire abortion industry's ship, that alone, if we just enforced the law. And I think if Donald Trump was really interested in enforcing the law and respecting the rule of law, I think that he'd be very interested in enforcing the Comstock Act, which is probably why New Jersey Representative Gottheimer last week was so insistent that they need to repeal the Comstock Act. I think they're scared to death.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today, your questions, your brief comments, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Like a tidal wave, this is running across the nation. I'm thankful for these oases, though. We have several good news events that have taken place. For instance, Reverend Harden, we have the state of Tennessee passing the Baby Olivia Act that requires public schools now to show the development of unborn babies. I believe it's live action that has the Baby Olivia video. It is just amazing. Arkansas legislator voted $2 million to help pregnancy care centers save babies from abortion. We have the Kansas legislature overriding Governor Kelly's vetoes there on some laws that advanced life. And we see also in Missouri, Republicans passed a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. So there are things that are on the horizon as people get engaged and let their voices be heard.
Yes, there are good things happening. We've got to get more of that happening all across the country. We do know that there is an ideological war. This is now beyond kind of opinions of whether abortion is right or wrong. This is really helping to educate people about the nature of what it means to be human. This is a perfect and wonderful moment in the history of America whereby we are now talking about life and death issues specifically as it relates to abortion and the meaning of humanity. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And, you know, he's right. He even quoted scripture, you know, when he's saying, well, justice rolled down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Why? Because they were in a desert. Amos, the prophet, was talking about this desert of injustice that was happening all around him and through the people of God and the surrounding nations. That's what we're facing right now, a desert of justice and righteousness. And we need to, as the people of God, speak and act on the truth that there are only two things in this world that are sacred, God and people. And when and right now we've got a legislature, an executive branch, and some folks in the judiciary that are establishing a throne of destruction. And you can't ally yourself with God there. One which devises mischief by decree. This is in Psalm 94. They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. That sounds awfully familiar, but that's going on right now in America.
Friends, what's going on as well? The Daily Wire is reporting last week Planned Parenthood to spend $10 million against pro-life candidates in 2024 battleground states. Question is, will your voice be heard? Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Robert calling from Maryland. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Here in Maryland, this fall, we're going to have a question on the ballot called Reproductive Freedom Amendment. And my understanding is this could take away parental rights. And also, they say that it could be interpreted to allow minors without parental consultation for gender-affirming care. I understand there's a bill very similar to that in New York State. I wanted to know, how can we push back on this legislation?
Robert, thanks for the call. Brother Jim.
You're right, Robert, 100%. There is a very similar amendment on the ballot this November in New York to attack parental rights and essentially emancipate minors from their parents when it comes to reproductive health decision-making. And that includes gender reassignment, gender therapy, which, you know, again, is child abuse. We've got the state, you know, subverting parental authority and essentially becoming de facto parents in violation of parental rights.
How do we push back?
How do we push back? You've got to speak up. You've got to call your senators, call your assemblymen, call your governor. And make your voice heard. You got to call them on the telephone, send them emails, and tell your friends and family to do the same thing, and say this is egregious. This oversteps the bounds. Look, we have primary relationships to keep civilized order going. One of those primary relationships is our relationship with God. Another one is our relationship with our spouse and our children. And the government is intentionally undermining those, and therefore tearing apart the fabric of society.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. I'm up against a break. We'll come back with more calls following the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. Friends, there is this targeting of preborn life, and our voice needs to be heard. Our voice needs to be heard for the voiceless. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Sadly, in America, we are seeing, well, what the Marxists and Islamists want, and that is the breaking down of institutions, the long march through the institutions, as the cultural Marxists said they would do, a breaking down of law and order. We're seeing people in elected offices say things about our judicial system, the courts, judges, that I would guess most of us, particularly those of us that are 55 plus, have never seen elected officials now talking about how our court systems and judges, so many of them, are corrupt. They're anti-American. Just recently, Representative Clay Higgins, a U.S. congressman, tweeted that we, the American people, are in contempt of the court in New York that is prosecuting Donald Trump. Folks, the globalists are accomplishing their goal, breaking down the rule of law.
You know, friends, the mantra today is to try to get people to be intimidated and to cower away from this topic, saying, no, it's a losing argument. Just keep your voice quiet. And friends, that's exactly what they are seeking to do, is to keep your voice quiet. The Bible says God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Let's go to our next caller from Wisconsin. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your guests, and I appreciate all the effort, and I am a pro-life under every circumstance, no matter what. But I also have to ask you, where does personal accountability fall here with the mothers? I mean, people can say that they put abortion clinics in poor neighborhoods or black neighborhoods or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a person that goes into an abortion clinic knows full well what's going to happen behind those closed doors, and they need to be held responsible. God gave us a free will, and they need to be held responsible also and have some bear some of the burden of this.
Okay, and speak to the father of the child as well. Your comments, Jim.
Yeah, so I think moral culpability rests with both the mother and the father. But the problem that we're having with abortion right now is that it's driven by culture, and so women are oftentimes coerced. A recent study came out saying that 70% of all women who've had an abortion felt coerced to getting one. This is outside of their will or their control. So I think as a nation, we've got to address the cultural problem that's driving women to get abortions, and then assess each situation on a per situation basis, and hold fathers accountable as well. So it's going to be a process for reeducating the nation on what it means to be human.
Thank you for the call, Tom in Connecticut. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to comment on the Unitarian Church. They are actually not a church. They're a modgepodge of different beliefs, none of them being Christian whatsoever, mm-hmm. and they don't teach the gospel whatsoever there.
Yeah.
They really shouldn't be called a church at all.
Okay, thank you for the comment. Yeah, they're not of the church, as Scripture refers to it, but they do use the word church in their name. And hence, so we have, you know, in my opinion, a very false gospel, which the Apostle Paul called, they preach another gospel, which is not another. Dominique in Muskego, you're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jim. I appreciate the answer you just gave the woman about women being so coerced into abortion. I love it that you're focusing on the personhood of the babies. I appreciate all you're doing for life and pointing out the eugenics agenda of the abortionists. On your website and in prior interviews here on VCY, you've warned how harmful abortions are for women and increasing their risk of breast cancer, preterm labor, and future pregnancies, negative mental health outcomes, which sometimes result in suicide as well. I'm grateful you focus so much on the women, too, and I had an idea I'd like to run past you and get your opinion on. Over the last few years, many liberals have awakened to the horrors of the COVID shot and the lies the government and the media told in order to get a shot in every arm. Some have even realized the COVID shots are a eugenics agenda. So for these liberals, is it a huge jump for them to rethink abortion? Because it seems to me that the second we talk about the baby, they literally go right back into their grooves and they can't hear anything else we say. So my idea is this. What if pro-lifers should verbally focus solely on saving the mothers and do a comparison with the COVID shots to these liberals? Because, you know, if you think about it, number one, they're told it's good for them. Number two, they're told that this decision will be their ticket to getting their life back to normal. Number three, they're told that it's safe and effective. Number four, they're told the biggest promoters of both are ministries. The biggest promoters of both are industries with a direct link to the profits, whether that's Big Pharma or Planned Parenthood and the fetal body parts industry.
Dominique, for sake of time, and forgive me for interrupting, and it's McQuantigo here, but let me have Brother Jim, and I've got several callers. We're down to just a few minutes left in the program. So, Jim, you've heard what she's had to say so far. Your reaction?
Well, I think you're onto something, Dominique. Yeah. We're going to try to do everything we possibly can and be as creative as we possibly can to communicate as clearly as possible to people that are pro-abortion. And really, I think most importantly to people that are kind of in the middle, that mushy middle of America that really doesn't understand what's happening. If we can reach those hearts and minds, I think we'd be in a much better situation. So thank you very much, Dominique.
Yeah, and Dominique, feel free to email them through the website as well with even developing your ideas further there.
Yeah, please do.
Sure.
Thank you, Dominique. Let's go next to Tom in Port Wing. You're on the air, Port Wing, Wisconsin.
Yes, I wanted to, as a former election worker for many years, challenge some of these ballot initiatives. All of a sudden, they're on this winning streak. And, you know, psychologically, that has certain implications for people. But I believe that these ballot initiatives should be challenged. Instead of having a candidate.
We lost you here, Tom. You said should be challenged. Now, I tell you what, I don't know where else you're all going, but I will say this, that Florida's ballot initiative was challenged. It was challenged by Liberty Counsel, and the courts upheld that. And the very same day that they upheld the heartbeat law in the state of Florida there. But any further thoughts you have to share, Jim, on that?
Well, anything we can do to push back on these ballot initiatives is going to be helpful, I think. But then we got to, if they actually get on the ballots, then we need to shift gears and start educating the voting base about the evils of these ballot initiatives.
Julie is calling from Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Julie.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about the laws that they want to pass about the abortion and about, you know, just having the training the children in a different way. The one way we can fight back is to homeschool our children, because these senators and governors, they're going to do what they want to do. Whether we call them 10 times or 100 times, they're going to do what they want to do. And the best thing we can do is start training our children at home, and homeschooling them would be better than putting them in the public school where they're going to learn, you know, what Satan wants them to learn.
Thank you, Julie. And they'll certainly be subject to, in many cases, not all, but many cases, to the likes of Planned Parenthood coming in or running their health clinics in the schools and being receiving the information. And parents are bad. Don't listen to them. We're here to listen to you. Let's quick go to Lee in Oakfield, Wisconsin. Lee, you're on the air.
Yeah, as far as the UN rights of the child, now I'm not after the UN at all, but I'm thinking now all this stuff is illegal under their kind of charter, and it doesn't open up a can of worms if we were to exercise that to have the WHO come in.
Yeah, actually the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child allows for children to go and have abortions at their will. As does the as does the World Health Organization, this horrible pandemic treaty that is coming up as well for signature. And we'll be covering that topic further, too. Brother Jim, we've got just a half minute left. Your final thoughts here.
Yeah, like I said, there's only two things in this world that are sacred, God and people. And I think America has forgotten that core truth. And we wonder at the raging lawlessness swamping our civilized order. Yeah. Cancer is spreading. Wickedness is spreading through the body politic that cannot be stopped by a new president or a better economy or more police. Christians must repent of our silence and be vigilant to walk out the truth in our the inherent dignity of man, maybe just a little lower than God, among our friends, our families, our coworkers, and the public square.
CompassCareCommunity.com is a website. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And friends, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today. Be an advocate for life. It's biblical. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.